Imagine firing a senior financial analyst. You walk them into HR, you process the termination, you take their physical key card, and, well, you escort them out of the lobby.
Right, the standard protocol.
Exactly. But then, 3 weeks later, that same former employee is sitting in a coffee shop across town, sipping a latte, and quietly downloading your company's unreleased quarterly earnings report from a cloud drive.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a nightmare scenario.
And the terrifying part is that this scenario, which happens far more often than companies actually want to admit, is exactly why the entire philosophy of enterprise security has completely shifted. I mean, the old idea of building a fortified perimeter around a corporate network, it's dead.
It is. The perimeter has entirely collapsed at this point. I mean, you have employees accessing critical databases from like personal tablets on public Wi-Fi. And then you've got third-party contractors connecting to internal communication channels and countless cloud applications storing sensitive customer data completely outside the company's physical servers. So the physical wall is just useless now.
It really is. The new security perimeter has to be built dynamically around the individual user, or more specifically, around their digital identity. Welcome to today's deep dive.
Glad to be here.
Whether you are an IT architect trying to build that new identity-based perimeter, a cybersecurity professional mapping out the next lucrative step in your career, or just someone who wants to understand the invisible digital locks guarding our data, we have a really fascinating mission for you today.
We definitely do.
We are evaluating one of the most critical, heavyweight decisions an enterprise can make right now, which is choosing between two titans of the identity governance and administration space, SailPoint and Saviynt.
Right. And just to set the stage for you, Identity Governance and Administration, or IGA, is this layer of infrastructure that goes way, way beyond just a password manager or a multi-factor authentication screen.
Because those tools just verify that the person typing the password is who they actually say they are,
Right.
right?
Exactly. IGA is the rigorous, continuous system operating behind the scenes. It's constantly answering four mandatory questions. First, who has access to what? Second, why do they have that access?
Oh, okay.
Third, who approved it? And crucially, the fourth one is that access still appropriate based on their current role today?
So it's kind of the difference between checking someone's ID at the door and then continuously monitoring every single room they enter once they are inside the building.
Yes, that's a perfect way to put it.
And to pull that off at an enterprise scale, organizations are heavily relying on the two platforms highlighted in our source material. We have SailPoint, which is the mature, deeply customizable, battle-tested veteran. And then we have Saviynt, the cloud-native, converged newcomer that's kind of shaking up the established order.
They definitely have two very different approaches to the same massive problem.
Right. And to understand why a massive global corporation would invest millions in one over the other, we really have to look at their foundational architectural DNA. Because how they were engineered on day one dictates the specific way they solve this identity puzzle.
Yeah, let's start with SailPoint. So SailPoint's architectural blueprint is centered around this concept they call the Identity Cube.
The identity cube. Okay, what does that mean in practice?
Well, because large enterprises have data scattered everywhere, from modern HR platforms like Workday to, ancient legacy databases sitting in a basement server room somewhere.
Oh, yeah, those basement servers never really go away.
Never. So SailPoint's core mechanical philosophy is aggregation. It uses hundreds of these specific connectors to reach out in all those chaotic disconnected systems, pull the account data, and then normalize it.
Got it.
It builds a comprehensive 360-degree profile for every single user, and that is the cube. Once all that data is centralized, SailPoint applies incredibly granular governance policies right on top of it.
Okay, so SailPoint essentially functions like a massive, highly customized bank vault. It relies on specialized armored cars, those connectors you mentioned, to drive out to all the different bank branches, pick up copies of the ledgers, and bring them back to the central vault so the auditors can just analyze everything in one place.
I like that analogy. And because it's a specialist focused purely on the governance piece, it actually outsources other tasks.
Oh, like what?
Well, for something like privileged access management, which controls the super user or admin accounts, SailPoint intentionally integrates with dedicated partner tools rather than building its own from scratch.
Interesting. Okay, so how does Saviynt compare to that bank vault model?
Saviynt approaches the problem from a completely different paradigm. It was built from the ground up as a cloud-native microservices-based architecture.
Meaning it's not just one big monolithic piece of code.
Exactly. Instead of monolithic code, Microservices allow Savvy to run discrete functions independently. That means they can update or scale specific features without taking the whole system offline. And on top of that, Savvy is API first.
Right, so it talks to other modern systems more naturally.
Yeah, it's designed to communicate natively with other modern cloud applications using standard protocols without needing heavy, custom-built middleware or, you know, those armored cars you mentioned earlier.
So if SailPoint is the central bank vault relying on armored cars to pull data in, Savvy acts more like an all-in-one smart home system.
That's a good way to look at it.
It doesn't pull all the ledgers into a central physical vault. It wires directly into the house's existing electrical and digital grid via those APIs, and it just monitors what's happening in real time.
Right. And Savvy uses a common data model to run everything. It converges identity governance, privileged access management, and application access controls into a single dashboard they call the Enterprise Identity Cloud.
So it's basically running the security cameras, the thermostat, and the door locks all from one interface.
Exactly. And the mechanical advantage of that common data model is really significant. When a platform converges those functions, the underlying data doesn't have to be translated or synced across three different software suites.
Oh, I see. So it's all just pulling from the same pool of truth.
Yes. A policy change in the governance module instantly applies to the privileged access module, because they're sharing the exact same underlying data structure.
Okay, I can definitely see the appeal of that. But I have to push back a little bit here. Doesn't an all-in-one converged model risk turning Savvy into a jack-of-all-trades, master of none?
That is a very fair question.
Because if I'm designing security for a massive global bank with highly specific, arcane regulatory requirements, I mean, I might not want a converged smart home system guarding my core assets. SailPoint's specialization and incredibly deep governance focus seems like a massive advantage when things get really complicated.
And that tension you're describing is actually the central debate in IT boardrooms right now. Savvy's converged approach is brilliant for reducing integration overhead and eliminating tool sprawl.
Right, keeping it simple.
Yeah. If you are a modern digital native enterprise, getting everything under one roof without piecing together multiple vendor solutions is incredibly efficient. However, when you dig into the mechanics of highly regulated industries like healthcare, the federal government, or legacy banking, SailPoint's depth becomes absolutely critical.
Because they have those edge cases, right?
Exactly. SailPoint allows for complex policy modeling that can handle gnarly edge case scenarios. I mean, if a bank has a 30-year-old mainframe running AS400, SailPoint has the specialized connectors and the deep policy engine required to govern it effectively.
And Savvy might struggle there.
Well, Savvy's streamlined API approach might struggle to communicate with a system built before APIs even existed.
That makes total sense. And because SailPoint has to integrate with those ancient 30-year-old mainframes, it physically couldn't exist just in the cloud, which forces us to look at how these platforms are actually deployed in the real world. I mean, architecture dictates deployment, right?
It completely dictates it.
So the sources point out that SailPoint offers a unique dual approach. They have a heavy-duty on-premises option called Identity IQ, which you physically install on your own local servers. But they also offer a software as a service option called Identity Security Cloud.
Right.
Whereas Savvy, due to its cloud-native DNA, is exclusively SaaS. It lives entirely in the cloud. Why does that physical deployment model matter so much to an enterprise?
It mostly dictates how you handle data residency laws. If an organization operates under strict compliance mandates, like the GDPR in Europe or specific banking regulations in Switzerland, those laws dictate that user data physically cannot leave the borders of that country.
Oh, so a strictly cloud-based model hosted in overseas data centers is just a legal non-starter for them.
Exactly.
Furthermore, defense contractors or critical infrastructure providers often maintain networks physically disconnected from the broader internet for security reasons. Savvy just cannot operate in those air-gapped environments.
So SailPoint's on-premises option becomes a mandatory lifeline for those hybrid or highly restricted estates.
Precisely. But conversely, a nimble tech startup looking to avoid the capital expenditure of buying and maintaining physical servers will find Savvy's cloud-only model provides much faster onboarding and near-zero infrastructure overhead.
So it really comes down to matching the mechanical constraints of the tool to the physical constraints of the enterprise. But regardless of where the software is installed, the primary engine of both platforms is managing the joiner, mover, lever lifecycle.
Yes, the core lifecycle of every single employee.
Right. Every user goes through it, You join the company, you need initial access, you move to a different department, your access needs to evolve. And then you leave the company, and your access must be instantly revoked.
It sounds simple, but at scale, it's a massive challenge. I always visualize this as managing VIP backstage passes at a stadium tour. When a roadie joins the tour, they get a lanyard that lets them walk past security. But the vulnerability happens when that roadie moves from the pyrotechnics team to the catering team. Mm-hmm. They get a new pass for the kitchen, but the security team forgets to deactivate the pass that lets them handle explosives.
And in the industry, we refer to that unrevoked access as standing risk.
Mm-hmm.
And those leftover credentials are known as orphaned accounts.
And those are dangerous, right?
Mechanically, it is one of the most dangerous vulnerabilities in corporate cybersecurity. I mean, if an attacker breaches the network and compromises a marketing employee's account, they shouldn't be able to do much damage.
Because marketing doesn't have the keys to the sensitive data.
Right. But if that marketing employee used to work in IT 5 years ago and their administrative permissions were never revoked, the attacker suddenly has the keys to the entire kingdom.
That is terrifying. And automated deprovisioning is the mechanism that solves this. It acts as an incredibly ruthless bouncer.
A very fast bouncer.
Seriously. The exact millisecond the HR system updates a user status from active to terminated or changes their department code, the IGA platform intercepts that signal and instantly severs the digital access rights across hundreds of connected applications.
There are no manual IT tickets, no waiting for a manager to remember to send an email. The standing risk is neutralized at the code level.
But managing that joiner, mover, leaver process at the scale of 50,000 employees, generating millions of access requests per year, you can't just do that with a basic script. It requires machine learning and AI, right?
Absolutely. Humans simply cannot manually review spreadsheets of permissions at that volume. SailPoint's machine learning engine analyzes the historical behavior and access patterns of entire peer groups.
So it's not just looking at a static list of rules.
No, not at all. If the platform observes that 99% of the people holding the job title junior financial analyst do not require access to the core payroll database, and you, junior financial analyst, suddenly request that access, the ML algorithm flags your request as a statistical anomaly.
And it blocks it.
It blocks it, or it routes it for a very high-level manual review.
Wow. And how does Seven handle the AI side of things?
Seven leverages AI a bit differently. They place a massive emphasis on low-code automation and peer analytics. Instead of requiring engineers to write custom JavaScripts to build out complex approval workflows, Seven allows administrators to build these automated responses visually.
Okay, that sounds a lot more user-friendly.
It is. And the platform assigns dynamic risk scores to users based on their behavior and peer comparisons. This allows the system to automatically throttle access if a user's risk score spikes due to unusual activity.
And both of these AI-driven mechanisms are foundational to enforcing the zero trust architecture outlined in the NIST publications mentioned in our sources.
Yes. Zero trust is the ultimate goal here.
Which operates on the principle of never trust, always verify. Just because you are authenticated on the corporate Wi-Fi grants you zero inherent privileges. Every single request for data is evaluated in real time based on your identity, your device health, and context.
A perfect practical application of zero trust enforced by these platforms is segregation of duties, or SOD.
Okay, let's break that down. In the physical world, it's the rule that the person who writes the corporate checks cannot be the same person who signs and approves them. Because if one person holds both powers, the risk of fraud just skyrockets.
Exactly. And these IGA platforms enforce segregation of duties mechanically at the application tier. The platform maintains a complex matrix of toxic combinations.
Toxic combinations? That sounds intense.
It is. If an identity profile already holds the specific permission token to generate a vendor invoice in the ERP system, and that same user attempts to acquire the permission token required to authorize vendor payments, the IGA platform recognizes that as a toxic combination.
So it steps in right then and there.
Yes. It intercepts the access token request and denies it before it ever reaches the application layer. That is zero trust in action. The platform is constantly verifying the contextual safety of the permissions being held.
The sheer scale of these mechanics, I mean, the machine learning, the toxic combination matrices, the automated deprovisioning, it's driving a massive economic shift. This technology is creating one of the most explosive sectors in the global economy.
It really is an incredible boom.
Understanding the underlying mechanisms of IGA isn't just an exercise in corporate defense strategy. For you, the listener, it represents incredible strategic career potential. The market valuation numbers from the sources reflect a complete paradigm shift.
Yeah, the global IGA market was valued at about $7.95 billion in 2024, and current projections show it scaling to $27.11 billion by 2033.
Which is a 14.9% compound annual growth rate. That kind of sustained hockey stick growth doesn't just happen by accident.
Yeah.
The sources point to a perfect storm of regulatory and technological forces driving that expansion.
Yeah, the landscape has changed dramatically.
First, the surging adoption of cloud services has exponentially multiplied the sheer number of digital identities and permissions that must be managed. And second, the threat landscape itself has changed.
Right, attackers aren't spending months trying to crack firewalls with sophisticated brute force code anymore.
No, they are simply purchasing stolen credentials on the dark web and logging in right through the front door. Identity is literally the only remaining choke point.
The third, and perhaps most forceful driver, is regulatory compliance.
Oh, yeah, compliance is huge.
Frameworks like the Sarbanes-Oxley Act for finance, HIPAA for healthcare, and the GDPR for data privacy have teeth now. They mandate by law that organizations maintain a comprehensive, immutable audit trail, proving exactly who had access to specific data at any given second.
You can't just promise regulators that your network is secure anymore.
No, you have to mechanically prove it through continuous governance logs. Failure to do so results in multi-million dollar fines. So enterprises are buying SailPoint and Saveillant because the cost of the software is vastly cheaper than the cost of a compliance failure.
That makes total sense. And this massive influx of capital into the sector translates into highly lucrative career opportunities for professionals who can actually operate these platforms. The sources highlight the specific demand in major tech hubs, like India, where SailPoint developers are commanding salaries between 8 and 18 lakhs per annum.
And identity governance consultants are seeing 10 to 22 lakhs per annum.
Which is fantastic. To put that in perspective for a global audience, those figures represent highly competitive upper-tier compensation packages in the Indian tech market, completely reflecting the severe shortage of qualified talent.
And the bottleneck in this $27 billion industry isn't a lack of raw software engineers. Enterprises aren't struggling to find people who can write Python scripts.
Right, they can find coders easily.
The critical shortage is a lack of professionals who possess the hybrid skill set required to understand complex corporate business logic and then translate those specific regulatory needs into the platform's governance rules.
What's fascinating about that skill set is that it completely changes the barrier to entry. If you are a listener evaluating a pivot into this space, you do not need a hardcore programming background to be successful.
Not at all.
The premium is placed on configuration, strategy, and administration. You are mapping out the joiner, mover, lever lifecycle, designing the toxic combination matrices for segregation of duties, and configuring the automated workflows.
Right. Now, while having a foundational understanding of programming concepts like basic Java or REST APIs is highly beneficial, particularly for building out custom integrations in SailPoint, the true currency of this industry really lies in specialized certifications.
Certifications are the golden ticket here.
They really are. Earning credentials such as the SailPoint Certified Engineer or the Sevian Certified Professional signals to the market that you understand the mechanics of identity life cycles and role-based access control.
And given SailPoint's deep penetration into massive Fortune 500 legacy environments, holding a SailPoint certification often provides an immediate competitive advantage in the enterprise job market.
Though to be fair, expertise in either platform is highly sought after right now.
For sure. So we have unpacked the foundational architecture, the deployment constraints, the zero trust mechanics, and the career gold rush driving this sector. When evaluating these two titans, the central takeaway is that there is no universal one-size-fits-all winner.
There really isn't. It's highly situational.
The choice is entirely dictated by the specific mechanical constraints of the enterprise. If you are defending a massive, heavily regulated organization with complex on-premises legacy systems that require deep, granular policy modeling, SailPoint is your structural choice.
Yes, because it possesses the depth and the specialized connectors required to govern environments that other platforms simply cannot reach.
Conversely, if you are architecting a cloud-first digital native organization and your primary objective is reducing tool sprawl, Savant provides a really compelling solution.
Its ability to converge identity governance, privileged access management, and application access into a single, sleek SaaS platform operating on a common data model significantly reduces integration overhead and just speeds up deployment overall.
But regardless of which platform an enterprise selects, the underlying philosophy remains the same for you. Mastering the mechanics of role-based access control, automated provisioning, and zero-trust architecture is a future-proof investment in your professional life.
The specific names of the software suites will inevitably change over the next decade, but the requirement to continuously govern digital identities will only intensify.
Because the perimeter is never reverting to a physical wall.
Never. The complexity of the cloud and remote work has permanently altered the landscape.
Which leads to a fascinating and honestly somewhat unsettling final thought I want to leave you with today. We've spent this entire deep dive discussing how platforms like SailPoint and Savant use AI and automation to manage the chaotic life cycle of human employees. However, the sources highlight a rapidly accelerating trend, which is the proliferation of machine identities. Software bots, automated cloud services, microservices, and API connections all require distinct digital identities and access permissions to function.
And the sheer volume of these machine identities is expanding exponentially. They're already vastly outnumbering the human headcount in many modern enterprise networks.
As we move into an era where automated scripts, AI agents, and machine identities are requesting access to core databases thousands of times a second, a really provocative question emerges for you to mull over.
That's a big one.
In the near future, will these powerful identity governance platforms actually spend the vast majority of their time, their processing power, and their machine learning capabilities policing and governing other autonomous AI bots rather than the humans who originally built the systems?
It's a wild thought, but it's very likely.
It's definitely something to think about the next time you authenticate a login. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the perimeter and keep learning.